Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together, to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40, and let us consider verses 6 to 8, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Well, there is a break, and at least on the superficially there is a break between chapter 39 and chapter 40. There is that section leading up to chapter 39 of more historical material. There is the protection given to Jerusalem in the time of Hezekiah when Sennacherib and his forces, perhaps not Sennacherib personally, the king of Assyria, but certainly his forces representing him, he attacked Jerusalem, and he, apart from divine protection, they would have conquered it, but they had God's protection. And so they did not conquer it at that stage. And then it turns to this: comfort ye my people, saith your God. That comfort was being granted. Comfort was being spoken to the people of Judah, the people of Jerusalem. No doubt the repetition is intensifying the idea of comfort. Her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, she has received from the Lord's hand doubled for all her sins. And then there's a voice mentioned. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. And that we can understand as looking forward to the coming of John the Baptist. You have these words quoted in Luke chapter 3 when he is drawn to our attention by that gospel writer. And there are blessings to follow, especially when we consider John the Baptist is a forerunner of the Savior. The Savior was to bring blessings. And I'm not going to try to expound that in any detail. But you see, this verse 5, the glory of the Lord was to be revealed. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God has spoken. And the voice said, "Cry." And I think we can take that as the voice of God speaking. The prophet Isaiah, and perhaps we can extend that as directing us to all the messengers that God sends. God sending messengers who were inspired, who were to speak a message given directly from himself. And there are messengers today, for instance, who are to go out and speak in the name of God. And we may well come back to that. Messengers sent out to speak in the name of God, to preach the everlasting gospel. But in this particular context just now, the voice said, cry. The voice of God directing Isaiah to cry. And wisely, he asked, what shall I cry? What message will I bring to them? I don't understand enough. I don't know enough to say what is appropriate for me to say. The voice said, cry. And what's the answer? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. That's this message. And then there's this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Whatever the Lord says, and particularly what the Lord puts into writing, or what the Lord was inspiring his servants like Isaiah and all the other scripture writers, the Lord telling them, the Lord so directing their minds so that they wrote down in a way that was what God wanted. No mistakes then. No departures from the truth. The recording accurately what God has been pleased to reveal. The word of our God shall stand forever. It will remain firm. It will not require to be changed. It will not require to be revised. The truth of God stays the same from generation to generation. That's what we have. That's how we're to look at it. But let us look at three particular points arising from these verses. Three particular points just now. The first one is that we need to be directed in our thinking about religious matters. We need to be directed in our thinking. And what I'm taking that from is, when the voice said cry, the prophet's question was, what shall I cry? What will I go and tell the people? If I'm to go and go out and prophesy to the people, what am I to say? And he was given a message. And before we come to that, the second matter, the second point is, the word of God will stand forever. The word of God endures forever. That's the second point. And then the third point is the context of Isaiah's message. And the main point is this. Our lives on earth are very short. I mean, if we compare one life with another, we might say, this man's life was short. But we might also say, that woman's life was very long. But if we compare the life of the oldest person in this world, just now, which is probably about 115, 110, doesn't matter precisely, probably more than 110, but what's that? What was that in comparison with Methuselah's age? Roughly 9 times as long. And what was it in comparison with, say, the length of time from when Methuselah was in this world and when Noah was in this world? Well, It's perhaps four times as long as somebody who has lived to the age of 100. Be a bit more than that. But I'm just speaking in rough figures just now. You see. And what will that be in connection, in comparison with all, when all the years, if I can speak about years in eternity, a future eternity, when all these years have rolled by, and we're away, way out in the distance, beyond the judgment day, beyond the resurrection. What was life, even for Methuselah? What was life in comparison with how long he has been in eternity? We're only here. The comparison here, of course, is with grass. When the wind passes over it, a hot summer wind in the Middle East, and the grass that was flourishing in the morning is by evening very dry. It's fit to be used to put in an oven and set alight and give a bit of heat to cook food. And the flower of the grass, it flourishes and then it withers, fades away. Well, there's these three points. First, that we need to be directed in our thinking about religious matters. Second, that the Word of God, by way of contrast with what I've just been saying, with human life, the Word of God endures. And finally, that the man's time is short. It's very short. And of course, the lesson there is, we're to make good use of our time in this world. Not to be wasting time, but to be redeeming the time. Well, first then, we need our thoughts to be directed. Of course, we can ask the Lord to help us. Young people might have an essay to write. They might have an exam to sit. They're wise to ask the Lord to direct them in their thinking. We're all wise to ask the Lord to direct us, whatever we are to think about. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we might well cry. That's the obvious lesson here. What shall I cry? How shall I think? How shall I think? If we're to speak properly, we must think properly. And that was true of the prophet. He knew that. Lord, what will I say? I'm to go out to these people, but what will I tell them? I'm to go out as a messenger from thyself. How am I to speak? What am I to say? Well, you see, Paul in a similar way speaks of himself as an ambassador. And you might think of a UK ambassador representing the UK government in Washington or in Paris or Rome, wherever it might be, whatever government he is the UK's ambassador to, he must speak what the government has told him to say. He's representing the government, so he must speak according to the government's policies, and he must speak in connection with the view that the government takes of relations with any of these countries. He's an ambassador. God sends out ambassadors. What are they to say? They must act according to what was said to Jonah, to speak according as he was told, preach the preaching that I bid thee. So, what are ambassadors to tell their people today? What are those who stand in front of a congregation to speak in the name of God? What are they to say? Well, it's this. They are to be directed by God. And how does God direct people? How does God direct preachers today? Well, however it was that Isaiah knew what to say, here there was a voice. He heard a voice. But there might have been on many occasions no outward voice. He just was directing his mind to write what he wanted. The message, it may have come silently to it. These are not important things. But you see, the important thing is this. The duty to speak the truth. The truth as we find it in the Word of God. That's the main matter. The truth as we find it in the Word of God. We're not to think our own thoughts. And we're told in Psalm 94 that the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vain, they are empty, they are unreliable. Listen to those who think of themselves as influencers today. Whatever they are, getting a place in the media, getting the opportunity to write columns in newspapers, or to have a slot in a broadcasting program, or to have some way of communicating through the internet, whatever it is. What's true of these thoughts if they're not listening to the Word of God, if they're not taking it in, if they're not absorbing it, if they're not soaking their minds in the Word of God? What's going to be true of the message? It's vain. It's empty. It's worthless. It's directing people in the wrong way. And that's what's true of the influences that there are on most people today. The Bible has no place in their thinking. They're not saying, what shall I cry? What will I say? How will I write? That's not in it. Not in it. It's this, though. This is how we are to be influenced. We are to watch the influences that come to us from all sorts of directions, from neighbors or people we meet in the street, or people we are friendly with, people we meet at work or whatever. You see, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vain. We need something that is solid. As far as how we are influenced on our way through this world, we need something solid. We need something reliable, in other words. We need something that will point us on the right, in the right direction. Something that will point us in the right direction. So it must come from God. Oh, Isaiah was wise in turning the question or turning the statement around and redirecting it to God. What shall I say? What shall I cry? And if we have a responsibility, any of us, to be trying to influence people, and in particular parents with their duty to influence children. It's not brainwashing. Godly people teaching children from the Bible, they may well be accused of brainwashing. It's not. They are avoiding the perilous danger of passing on vain thoughts, empty thoughts, wrong thoughts to their children. And that's what's happened when the Bible is not the main force in society, the main force in individual families. That's what's happened. That's why one generation tends to be worse than the next. Why one generation is more godless than the previous one. It's previous, I should have said, not next. Though in another way, it depends on your perspective. Never mind that, though. It's the importance of this, to be influenced in the right way, that the influences that bear upon our thinking should come from the Bible, should come from God. Yes. And the next thing is that there's an unwillingness on the part of sinners to receive the truth. They don't want to hear. They don't want their lives to be influenced by the word of God. See what Paul said to the Corinthians. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They are spiritually discerned. They need a spiritual mind, a mind that has been renewed by the Holy Spirit. Yes. Oh, let us cry for that, so that we would be influenced by the truth, so that we would be truly influenced by the word of God. That's what we need. But is that what we are asking for? Is that what we would wish for? Yes. That we would be receptive to the word of God. Yes. You might speak about receptors on an animal or whatever, a machine to receive signals of some kind, light or whatever. But you see, there's receptors in our souls. In one way you can say they're switched off. Or they're badly tuned. They're tuned to receive what is false, not to receive what is true. That's the state that we are in as fallen creatures in this world. We need new receptors, or our receptors to be made new, so that what we would be tuned to is the word of God. And that if signals of a wrong kind come to us, so to speak, then these receptors would know not to take that in. You see, if you're reading a book, you might know what kind of book it is, a religious book, I mean. And if your receptors are tuned properly, and you come across something that is wrong, your receptors are not going to take this in. If it's false doctrine, you're going to say, that's not right. What's the good of reading this book? It's only in danger of putting me wrong. Well, we need a complete retuning of our receptors, if that's a strong enough way of putting. We need to be born again. and to be made new by the Holy Spirit in that way, in the new birth. This is one aspect of the Spirit's work, as it were, to retune our receptors, to make us new altogether, so that we would be made spiritually. Our receptors is the truth coming to us. It must be spiritually discerned. If we're going to make it out, if we're going to receive it, it must be through receptors that are focused in the right way, that are tuned in the right way to receive the signals that come from God through His Word. And these things I'm just using as illustrations, of course. What I'm at is this. The need that we have in our whole souls to be made new, so that we can take in the truth. Yes. Now, you'll have noticed, and it'll have been drawn to your attention many a time, I'm sure, these words that are so often in the prophets, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. I don't think it's in this chapter. I just had a quick look through it to see if the words stood out to me. But you see, so often it's this: "Thus saith the Lord." The prophet goes out. He has a message. God has spoken to him. And he says, "Thus saith the Lord." It's not coming on my authority. And that's what preachers are to say again and again. What I'm saying is not coming on my authority. It's not because I have some authority in the matter, except a minister might say, as I believe I am an ambassador for Christ, there's authority in what I say. So long as the minister is concerned to stick to the word of God, what authority he has. It's not his personal authority. If he's speaking about something else, he has no real authority, except that he might have studied the subject. But as he speaks from the word of God, he has authority. He's saying, "This is what God is saying. This is what God is saying to you." Yes. It's my tongue. It's my vocal cords. It's my brain that is behind it, but only up to a point. The real source of these things is from God Himself. What shall I say? And when I know what to say, when I know that the Bible has authority, the preacher may say, I must go out and speak it. I must go out and speak it. Yes, that's what we've got. I must go out and speak it. And what I must speak, it must be from the Word of God. What I must say, it must be from the Word of God. And what about the hearers in relation to that? Well, they should be saying, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will listen to what God is to say. I will listen. Let us have that attitude to the Word of God, whether we are reading it ourselves or whether we are hearing it proclaimed from a pulpit. Well, the second thing is the Word of God endures. Yes. You have that in Psalm 100 as well, His truth. And it is all truth that you have in the Bible. Except, of course, when a liar is being quoted. Yes, and you have that. But it's a proper, truthful, faithful record of that. Yes. Like the man who came to David when the battle had taken place, in which Saul and Jonathan were killed. I believe it was a false message that he brought. But you see, it's properly recorded. And that's just common sense to understand that. But you see, it endures to all generation. It stands fast. The word of the Lord endures forever. The Bible is as reliable today as when any of its parts were written. The Bible will be as reliable at the end of the world as it is now. And whatever people may say in the way of thinking that is common today, that may be truth for you. It's not for me. Well, if it's the Bible we're talking about, we must accept it as true, as having authority. Thus saith the Lord. That's what we're being told. Thus saith the Lord. And we should treat it as the truth, the absolute truth. What is the Bible saying to us today? I'll come to answer that in a little while, in some particular examples that are of great relevance to us. But just to make the point just now, what is it that the Bible is saying to us? Whatever it is that you may have felt God's authority today or yesterday or last Sabbath, whatever you may hear God saying to you with authority, you are to listen to it. You are to take it in. You are to obey, and I am to obey with you. This is what we should be asking for, among many other things. Lord, make me to submit to the truth. Make me to feel its authority. Work in my soul by it. Work according to thy Holy Spirit. These are the sorts of petitions we should ask. Isaiah was asking, what shall I cry? Well, there's any number of things we might be asking. And if God replies to us through the scripture, not by voices, we've got to be very careful about that. Not by voices. And the devil may be able, the devil may well be able to make us feel in our minds a voice. And that would be false. But you see, the Lord speaks through his word. The Lord can influence our thinking. And it's a blessing when he does. And we should be asking him to influence our thinking, whatever it is we're about. But what is scripture? Take Paul's answer. Or take Paul's words to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's a lot of things you could take out of that. All scripture is given. It's not manufactured by man, though human writers were involved. But, you see, God was moving the minds of these writers, carrying them along, as Peter uses the illustration, carrying them along as a sailing ship would be carried along by the wind. And you see, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, was carrying along these writers like Paul and Peter and Isaiah, so that what they wrote down was perfectly in accord with the mind of God. That's why we can rely on it. If we were to believe, as so many believe, there's mistakes here and mistakes there, what could we rely on? Take the Bible's testimony to itself. In other words, take God's testimony as recorded in the Bible, and you will be saved. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Profitable. Some parts, no doubt, are more directly profitable than others. If you have a list of names, you might well say these are, that's not as profitable a part of scripture as some other parts. Well, no doubt that is true, but God has a purpose in putting in that list of names. It should suggest to us, this is given in a way that describes history accurately. And that is true of everything that there is in the Word of God. And it's not that it is good, not just that it is good to think about things and say that is interesting information, but it's profitable. Not just to interest us, but it's for us, the good of our soul. It's for the good of in our spiritual lives. If there's anything positive to be said about our spiritual lives, but we should be asking for that. And the Lord is able to use the scriptures for these things. Now, the Lord puts boundaries about scripture. We're to take the Bible as it was written and not to be going along with those that would miss some verses out of it. And they amount to quite a number of verses when totaled out. But the Lord is saying, if any man shall add unto these things in the Book of God, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And that is a solemn warning. Yes. Now, it's profitable. And just a few profitable statements just now, very quickly. First, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's something that's to last forever. We've sinned. We sinned in Adam. We are going on sinning. That's profitable. It's profitable for us to hear that. It's profitable for us to read that. It's profitable for us to meditate on that and ask the Lord to bless the truth to us. And then again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish because of sin, but have everlasting life. There's an encouragement to believe. Is my heart still hard? Is my heart still unable to receive these truths? Well, go to Christ. Ask for the Holy Spirit for his sake. Ask that he would work powerfully in your soul and make the Word of God profitable as you read it and as you hear it. Yes, there's another truth, and it abides forever. The truth that I've quoted there, John 3:16, it's as relevant, it's as profitable today as it ever was. Let us be thinking over it. Let us be praying over it, that we might get good from it. another verse. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A ransom. Christ paid the price for the redemption of sinners. He paid it for all in this sense. It's suitable for all. There's no one who can say, this is not for me. No one who should say, this is not for me. People may have said it. It is profitable. It is where we will find profit for our souls. Yes, that we might obtain mercy. That we might be brought to believe that the light would shine into our souls from such a verse as that. Yes, may God grant it. May God make it profitable to us. Yes, or again, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. See the importance of belief. See the call to believe, as you find Paul and Silas making that call to the jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's profitable. It's still profitable, as the word of the Lord endures forever. But third, our time here is very short. Our time in this world, our opportunities will not last forever. Are you saying, I will think about these things more. I will get serious about these things. I will spend time praying about these things, but not now. All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the grass. Yes, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. Oh, do not squander your opportunities. Be in earnest about your soul. Go to the word of God. It endures forever. Hear the word of God preached. The word of God faithfully represented in the preaching. It's something that is of permanent relevance. It's something to take seriously. It's something to take in. It's something to ask God's blessing on. Are you doing that? Asking the Lord, make it profitable to me, poor sinner that I am. Make it profitable to me. Yes. See these solemn words in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. God is power. God says, I'm taking that spirit away from that man, that woman. I'm taking it away. We cannot hang on to our spirits. We cannot maintain, put it that way. We cannot maintain the connection between our soul and our body. When God comes for the soul to take it away into eternity, to take it out of this world. Yes. We need God's blessing. And we need to make use of our opportunity to seek God's blessing while we are still spared in this world. Yes. We need to be asking for a blessing in our days. The limited number of days that are left to us. We need God's blessing. The limited number of services that we will be able to attend. May we have God's blessing on them. May he apply the truth. And all do not try to get away from any impressions that the Lord may make in us. You see, the Lord is kind. The Lord is good. He speaks to us. He may apply the truth to us up to a point, but we may try to wriggle away from it. We can try to throw it off. We may be successful. We may be very successful. We may be successful on very many occasions. And then there's no more opportunity. No other opportunity. We may be so hardened that we don't respond. The Lord is speaking. He is speaking today. Especially, he is speaking through the verses that I have quoted and the passage that we have read. He is speaking through this picture of the grass withering. And in a region like Israel, you have hot winds that very quickly dry up the grass, make it fit for the oven. Yes, whether it's the grass or the flower of the grass, and James applies that last part to the rich. You can apply it, I'm sure, to any group of people that stand out, rulers perhaps. They too will die. They may die in office. They may die out of office. But whatever it is, we may die young, we may die older. We have a limited number of opportunities. Make the most of your opportunities. I don't just say by coming to church. Of course, that is so. But when you come to church, make the most of your opportunity. Try to carry something away that you would meditate on. Try to carry something away that you would pray over. And before you come, ask God's blessing. Ask God to make you feel the power of his truth, the power of his word. Yes. And we might think of the words in Jeremiah 13. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? What wilt thou say in a lost eternity? Will you think back on the opportunities you misused, the opportunities you squandered? What will you say when he shall punish you? And it speaks then of sorrows overtaking them as a woman in travail, a woman in childbirth without any painkillers or anything of that nature. Well, there'll be no painkillers in a lost eternity. Why do I say that? Well, it's the truth, but the point just now is about squandering opportunities. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Yes, abundant pardon. Oh, are you saying it's difficult to get into the kingdom of God? It's difficult to prepare for heaven. Yes, and I'm sure many a child of God felt that. But, you see, set your case before the Lord. Tell him you are a sinner and you need forgiveness. Tell him that you are unholy and you need to be made holy. He's got all the provision to bring these things about. And what he has to say to you, as I've quoted that already, is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you might say, but I can't do that. And that's scripture. And yet you have these things. And you might try to bring them together. My duty to believe. The impossibility of believing. I do not have that power. I need that spiritual energy, that spiritual capacity to believe that God alone can give. That is true. It's all true. And it may seem to be that these teachings are like two North Poles, say, on a magnet. And you try to bring them together. And if they were big enough magnets, you just couldn't. You just couldn't. But God is able. Leave it with that. God is able. Go to him for the sake of Christ, for a blessing in your soul, and value your opportunities. May the Lord bless his word to you. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, to each of us and to thine own loving care. Bring thy word to bear upon our souls with power. Ah, Lord, we are poor and needy. Help us to believe thy word. Help us not to neglect it. May we value our opportunities. May we value our opportunities to hear thy word. May we value our opportunities to pray. May we value the opportunity to pray when the throne of grace is open to us, when thou art telling us to come boldly, to come with confidence to the throne of grace. Lord, we are needy. We need thy help. We need thee to work in our souls. We need thee to open our hearts, as the Holy Spirit opened the heart of Lydia. Grant to bless us, remember us in all our ways. Take us each one under thine own loving care. Bless us now. Bless us through the afternoon. Bless us at the evening service if we're able to come. But grant to work powerfully. Pardon our sin. Oh, may we hate sin and love holiness. And bless thy cause. Build it up. Remember those that are unwell and those that need treatment. Keep us and care for us now and always. Do us good in every way. Do us good in our souls and build up thy cause. For Jesus' sake, amen.